are back with another episode of the Bills Wire Podcast. We are brought to you today by USA Today Sports Media Group. I am Rob Quinn, the managing editor of BillsWire.com. Tonight I'm here with Kyle Salagi and Rich Fan, two excellent contributors to the Bills Wire site. We are part of the NFL Network. Tonight we're going to take a look at our fellow colleague Luke Easterling's seven-round mock draft. He is the managing editor of DraftWire.com. If you're not familiar with DraftWire, you need to be. Luke, Cole Thompson, Justin Gamble, they have everything you need to know about the upcoming 2018 NFL draft. And Luke, the maniac that he is, decided to put together a seven-round mock draft for every team. So we decided that it would be fun to go through his picks for the Buffalo Bills, give our thoughts on them, on who he chose for the team, our thoughts on those players, whether they fit needs, whether they don't, whether to be happy with them, and really how they can take the team to the next level. Before we get into that, make sure that you bookmark us online at BillsWire.com. Slide that bookmark right to the front of your bookmark tab list because you're going to want to check us out all the time. You connect with us on Twitter at TheBillsWire, on Facebook, Instagram at TheBillsWire, and that's the only way you can really stay up to date on all the latest Bills news, analysis, speculation. Like I said, I'm Rob Quinn. You can follow me at RobQuinn619. Kyle, where can they find you?
Hello. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Salagi.
And Rich Fan, where can they find you?
At Rich_Fan, F-A-N-N.
All right. And also, make sure to subscribe to the Bills Wire podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcast from. Just write us a nice 5-star review for bringing you this awesome content always. But let's hop right into this mock draft. And this was an interesting one because the Buffalo Bills have a lot of needs this offseason. Quarterback, the Tyrod Taylor situation. He has a $6 million roster bonus coming up on the third day of the new league year. Questions really all over the board, especially after the Eric Wood retirement, Kyle Williams' future up in the air. Even if he doesn't retire, defensive tackle still in need. Linebacker is going to be a need considering the free agents. You really don't know what the front office wants. They had a great draft, but they signed a lot of players to one-year deals last season, meaning that there's going to be a lot of free agents, which creates a lot of holes. They have 18 unrestricted free agents, and a lot of them are players that you'd probably want back. Players like Preston Brown, who led the NFL in tackles with 144. Cornerback E.J. Gaines, who was part of the Sammy Watkins deal. He surprised everybody, playing lights out when he was healthy. Jordan Matthews, his season was cut short, but the talent is there. He was a former second-round pick. And countless others. Deontay Thompson, I know he's up there in age, but he made some key plays throughout the year. So we're going to discuss the direction of the front office, how we think they're going to approach the offseason. And we're just here to offer our thoughts, agree, disagree, or if Luke hit the nail on the head. Before we get started, Kyle, let's let you take this. What do you think the ultimate direction of the front office this specific offseason is?
I think the main goal of the front office this offseason is probably going to be to get a franchise quarterback. We all know that Tyrod Taylor's days here are probably numbered. They just haven't been committed to him really the whole time, hence the why he was benched for Nathan Peterman. That was fun. But it doesn't seem like they view him as a franchise guy. And as you said, they save a bit of money by cutting him. So if they can save a bit of money by cutting a guy that they don't see as part of their future, I could see them getting a franchise quarterback this offseason, probably through the NFL draft. I don't see them spending a lot of money in free agency. So I see them either staying put and trying to get a guy they think is a franchise caliber player or trading up.
Yeah, before you got into that, it was a, like you said, I don't see them spending a lot of money in free agency. They have $31 million projected with the $178 million salary cap that is projected. Usually it's a little higher. I think he's going to go for, you know, 1-2 year deals on not no-name players, but guys like Jordan Poyer. Players like that where they're not going to cost a premium, but you're going to get production out of them. You know the Bills scouting department is pretty much top-notch after you saw what they're doing both in college and pro personnel. And, Rich, I know you could speak to that because you know the history on basically every employee in the NFL since 1950. So why don't you give your opinion on what you think their ultimate goals are this year with their cap situation and how it looks for next year. Do you think they go in and try to get a big name guy, or do you think Beans sits back, does some shrewd moves, and then says, you know what, next year we're balling?
I think and I hope that they're going to go more with the Eagles' plan of drafting the guy they think is their guy and then going through the motions and kind of dealing with the pain this year, and then next year having a clearer cap in 2019 that will allow them to make the moves the Eagles did this year, where you can pick up a quality veteran that's going to shore up a spot on the offense, or maybe something that could be a complement to a Kelvin Benjamin, either as a tight end or receiver or running back combo to help Shady. So I think this year is going to be a little bit of more of that pain. And then on the front office side, I think they are going to be pretty well equipped to find the guys they're looking for at these positions. And I'm really intrigued at how they respond to the potential loss of not only Brian Gain, their assistant GM, but also the third in line, Lake Dawson, who potentially could go, ironically, to the Panthers.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because as soon as Bean and McDermott were hired, they said they knew they weren't going to be around for long. He said, we put together a talented front office, and these guys are going to become GMs. And that speaks a lot to the respect that those guys have around the league, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I think it also speaks to the fact that they are, you know, as much as I might have some misgivings about some of the meta plans they had in the 2017 season, I think they're egoless enough to have people in their office and be proud of the fact. I mean, look at what's going on with the Eagles. They were happy to let their quarterback coach go to become offensive coordinator in Minnesota, and then Minnesota refused to allow their quarterback coach become an OC in New York. So having an organization where from top to bottom in every position, you know that the organization is going to allow you to go and grow is a boon to them, because more people will want to work for them, even if it's just for a year.
Exactly. It's just a stepping stone. And if you're with a successful organization, that's how it's built. You don't want to be in a situation where, I mean, there's no confirmed reports, but you've heard rumblings about the Patriots and saying, you know what, like, it's too much of a fear-mongering thing to be around that. And an environment like Buffalo, if this is indeed the case, why not? Why is this not an attractive destination for up-and-coming executives looking to make a name for themselves, build a successful team that hasn't been successful this millennium, making the first playoffs since 99. So why not? But before we get into that, that's a whole nother conversation for another podcast. But let's dive into this mock draft, because Rich and I love to cover the draft. We've been doing this since, what, 2011 together in the 7,800 sites we've written for?
Yes.
Something close to that. Might be 7,831, something like that. But, so, mind you, there are no trades in this. So don't freak out when the Bills don't get Tremaine Edmonds, Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen in the first round. But round one, number 21 overall, Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph. Rich, the floor is yours.
All right, so Mason, I believe I also have, do I have the report up yet, or is that something that's on the...
I did that.
Oh, you did that one. Okay. So, Mason, I didn't write that one. Rob did. Definitely go to our Bills Wire USA Today link to read that. But my personal opinion about Mason is he is a product of the Mike Gundy system, and I mean that in the the biggest compliment I could give him. He makes quick decisions. In the short and intermediate, he's going to be okay. The short particularly, because there's going to be some swings, some smoke screens, some quicks, things like that. But he is... a master of the deep ball. And how much of that is James Washington? How much is that is Marcel Aitman? That's going to be for you, the reader, to decide. Personally, I think it's a combination of the two of them. I will say right off the bat, especially having watched him murder my Pitt Panthers live and in color, his arm isn't the strongest, but watching him that day, he has that Chad Pennington idea of timing, where if I can get the ball off before you get to it, my guy's going to get it, and then we're going to eat. The biggest concern would be, of course, in Buffalo with the current roster, the lack of separation by the receivers invites his throws, especially with the lack of mustard, to be intercepted, and that's not something I can explain away, so that is a big red flag for him.
Definitely, and when I was watching him, you know the hashes in college are wider than they are in the NFL. And he, in the short to enter, I've never seen a quarterback that could make a beautiful 60-yard pass in stride with his receiver as Mason Rudolph, and then throw a hospital pass on a slant behind your receiver. It's mind-boggling to me. And Mason Rudolph, that offense, it's based so quickly with the RPOs and the motions and the different formations. I mean, people want to call it a BS offense. One of those anonymous scouts said that. I mean, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl with that RPO BS offense. So I think that we really need to draw a line in the sand right now and say, you know, a pro style offense, a college offense, there's really not any difference in the big macro picture, because you take concepts that you see work and build upon them. Now, I feel like a lot of people are hopping on the Mason Rudolph train because they look at the box score, 13,600 plus yards, 92 touchdowns, 26 picks, and 17 rushing touchdowns. And he is a quality prospect. He throws a beautiful deep ball. What worries me about him is how many deep shots are you going to take a game in a game in the NFL? What, 3, 4?
Well, it depends on the offense. Like, for instance, if you look at, say, the Patriots, they're taking a deep shot at least 4 times a half.
Usually after a turnover.
Right.
But the short to intermediate game and getting the ball out quick, which is something that he does with that RPO system, I just don't see the accuracy in those short to intermediate passes where he's efficient enough there. He's more efficient throwing 80 yards like we're playing Madden than he is running the pro style, quote unquote, offense where you have your concepts. And that's what worries me about him. He could grow. I do like his pocket mobility. I do like how he escapes pressure. He steps up in the pocket. He's not afraid to get hit. What worries about me is throwing those outs. What worries about me is his anticipatory throwing, and that's it. And being a young quarterback, he can grow out of it, but I don't know if I'm sold on Mason Rudolph as a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, when I look at him, I don't see franchise quarterback in the slightest. I think really the only thing that's good about him is his deep ball, as you guys were saying. But everything else, I just... Granted, I've only watched a few games of his, but he doesn't really stand out or anything. I'm not overly impressed by him. The only saving grace, if the Bills pick him, would be that the Bills would be incredibly fun on Madden. Rudolph to Benjamin all day. It would be unstoppable. Super Bowls in Madden, but in real life, I don't know if Rudolph would develop into a Super Bowl-level quarterback. I just don't see it. The Bills have the 22nd pick as well, and with the 22nd pick, Easterling has us taking Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. Kind of Kyle Williams light, kind of a young version of Kyle Williams, kind of undersized, but extremely talented. Rob, what do you think of the pick?
This is... him and Vita Vea are the two of my favorite defensive tackles, and they couldn't be more different. Vea has about 65 pounds on this man, but they control games and put nightmares in offensive coordinators like Rich in high school. They keep him up all night. I mean, Maurice Hurst, his burst off the line of scrimmage, I've posted some of these to my Twitter, where as soon as the ball is snapped, he's got the center almost in the quarterback's lap while the rest of the defensive line isn't even out of their stance. And he reminds me of Aaron Donald. And that's, I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald's talent level right now, but the way that he can reset that line of scrimmage and put pressure, interior pressure kills quarterbacks today, because you're not getting 5-7 step drops like you used to. I mean, it's all quick game. And if you're in his face and you have the hands and the strength and the leverage that he does with that size, you're dominating. And you watch him and he's chasing down quarterbacks that are rolling out, running for their lives to get away from this man. And he is an animal. He's got ridiculous bursts. He had 45 pressures last year, and in just three seasons, he had 130 tackles, 32 tackles for loss, 13 and a half sacks, three pass breakups. I mean, yeah, call him undersized, but look at the defensive tackles in the NFL right now. They're undersized for a reason. If you're a three technique, your job is to penetrate the backfield. And as a three technique in a four-man front, that's what you want. You want him in between that guard and tackle. You want him to split that block, get in the backfield, and disrupt the throw. So, Rich, what are your thoughts on Hurst?
Oh, I love Hurst. Even though he's 280, 285, he's a one-gapper. He screams this defense. I don't think I found a game where he was in any way bringing less than his best. And obviously there's going to be those occasions where a lineman's kind of picking his spot, saving his snap, so to speak. But I think Maurice Hurst would be a perfect fit for this defense. And if, you know, later on down the road we did something like our own fantasy mock, I would not be opposed to having my two Titans of Terror of Vita and Maurice as the back-to-back picks. That's Hellraiser's time too. And they could throw each other at the quarterback and would probably get 30 sacks. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I would not put one of them past it.
20 is more realistic, but
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of both Hurst and Vea. And the Bills, we all know, they need help at defensive tackle, especially if Kyle retires. They desperately need some defensive tackle help. And if Hurst is the pick in the first round, either he or Vea, I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, Cedric Thornton is 29. He didn't do anything. Bleacher Report had Adolphus Washington and Cedric Thornton as the two worst defensive tackles out of 135 in the league. And they had 27 sacks last year, and Kyle did his best. And he performed well given the situations. I mean, teams knew that he was their only threat on the interior defensive line, and that showed. So they need that penetrator, whether he's there or not. I mean, Hurst is a guy who can move around. You see him playing D-end, 5, 3, 1. You can move this guy around at 280, 285, and he's still dominating. I mean, if you watch the Rams and the Falcons game, he just went down the line and embarrassed everybody. And he reminds me of, like, a Grady Jarrett, I would say, because I don't want to compare him to Aaron Donald just yet. But they both have that same kind of get off the line of scrimmage and that relentlessness, and that they're not going to stop running until that quarterback is on the ground.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I agree with you completely. I think having interior pressure is going to only help the trio on the outside as well. Because if you notice, before he got injured, Shaq Lawson was playing a lot more three technique. And if they're going to do a NASCAR-type lineup and move him inside to give maximum pressure, if you put him with a Hurst or a Villa, you're going to have the opportunity to give maximum threat to a quarterback on a third down situation.
Right.
Yeah, he would undoubtedly be a solid pick, and I wouldn't be at all upset if that's who they go with. And then in the second round, we have two second round picks with pick 53. Easterling has us taking Mason Rudolph's friend, James Washington, out of Oklahoma State. James Washington, of course, the recipient of many of those Mason Rudolph deep balls. Rich, what do you think of this pick?
I love James Washington. He is a player that I am kind of, I would not mind if they even traded back and got him at the end of the first round, because I think having this guy for 5 years in the Bills offense can only help whoever the quarterback is. That deep element, 19.8 yards a catch, his ability to play running back, run some gadgets, having a guy like Brian Daboll, who just comes from Alabama, who has married some college scheme to his traditional Earhart Perkins offense, would be a great person to mess around with him with. And ultimately, I think he is just different. Like, right now we have guys, as I said earlier, who cannot separate. If you get one person who can separate with regularity, that opens it up for the rest of them.
Yeah, like Rich said, you have Kelvin Benjamin. That's your big guy. He's not running the go routes, but adding a guy like James Washington, I know a lot of people are going to be, oh, Roscoe Parrish got hurt, T.J. Graham got hurt, Marquise Goodwin got hurt. He's not built like those guys. And there's something to be said for that. And, I mean, this guy is explosive. For his career, he's averaging 19.8 yards per catch, 4,476 yards and 39 touchdowns. Come on. Come on. I mean, they need that element of speed, and it's clear that they've been trying to get that with guys like Walt Powell last year that just messed it up with his substance abuse problems, and Kalen Clay, he couldn't get it done. But James Washington is a talented, proven player, and they need that element to their offense. I mean, you have these guys that are fantastic in short to intermediate games, but who's going to take the top off the defense and prevent those DBs from just creeping and creeping and creeping and destroying LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, James Washington in this offense would be incredibly fun, because as you guys were saying, they don't really have that speedster. As you brought up, Rob, they've been kind of looking for that guy for a while. Ended up being Deontay Thompson, who nobody really thought was much of anything at receiver. The Bears didn't even think so. But, yeah, they do need speed at receiver, and Washington, one of the best speed guys in this draft. So yeah, if he's there when the Bills go on the clock with one of their two second-round picks, he would definitely be a solid guy to pick up, especially if they pair him with Rudolph, because you know that connection works. So that would definitely be a fun storyline and a fun connection to see in the NFL. And then with our second round pick, number 56, Easterling has us taking Jerome Baker, linebacker. So we all know linebacker is a major position of need for the Bills. Their linebacker group is outdated as a whole. So Rob, what do you think of the Jerome Baker pick?
I mean, he's just the latest in Ohio State's undersized, speedy, rangy linebackers. I do have questions about his decision-making. It seems like he wants to make a lot of plays, but he's athletic. We see players like DeMario Davis thriving. He just had the best season of his career. According to Pro Football Focus, he reminds me a lot of him, actually. He's 6'1", 6'2", 225, 230. He's rangy. He's got speed. And speed is something, at the linebacker position, is something that absolutely destroyed the Bills last year. I mean, you saw Preston Brown, 250. Ramon Humber, 240. And 31, starting for the second time in his entire career, just getting destroyed in the run game. And right now, in our division, the Patriots are the team to beat. And they're all underneath stuff with the occasional deep shot. And you need linebackers that can run with those guys, no matter if it's the Patriots or any other team, because that's the way the NFL is trending. So adding a guy like Jerome Baker, putting him next to Matt Milano in those 4-2-5 sets or dime or any of that, I don't see how you can go wrong. I think you'll have some growing pains. I know John Warrow knows that. I didn't think Matt Milano would have any growing pains, but that was his fault. So I just think that Jerome Baker would be a nice pick, especially if he's there at 56. I mean, 155 tackles, 17 and a half tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 2 picks, 2 pass breakups, forced fumble, 2 defensive scores. I mean, sounds like Milano.
Yeah, I enjoy him. I like watching what he did at Ohio State. I think one of the things, and I saw a few people, especially the gentleman at Four Verts on Twitter and a couple of the Seahawks guys talking about the idea of when you have a linebacker with speed, they can cover up some of the mental mistakes they make early in their career because of that speed. And the Bills had guys who might have been very smart scheme-wise, but because of the lack of speed, they couldn't get there in the time they knew they needed to be there. And so hopefully you add a guy like Baker to the offense. You have someone like Babbage, and you have McDermott, and you have Leslie Frazier to kind of teach him up. And then on field, you still have, you know, someone like our dude ready to kind of show him the ropes in Zoe. So hopefully that can kind of balance things out, and I would be 100% with this pick.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I know next to nothing about Jerome Baker. I haven't watched any film of his, but you guys describe him as a speedy linebacker, which is something the Bills desperately need. Matt Milano is really their only linebacker that fits the modern mold of the linebacker today. So, they need speed at linebacker, and if they can pick that up in the second round, I'm all for it. And then in round three, the Bills have one third-round pick. Easterling has mocked Duke Dawson, cornerback out of Florida, to the Bills. Bills' secondary last year was surprisingly fantastic with Trey White, then Micah Hyde, and Jordan Poyer at safety. EJ Gaines was very good as well, but he's a pending free agent, and if his Instagram posts are to be believed, he's probably not going to re-sign here, which sucks, but Easterling has us replacing him with Dawson. So, Rich, what do you think of Dawson?
I like Dawson a lot. He's a perfect zone corner. He might not have the length of a six-foot guy with, like, we still have to get the measurements at the combine for his arm length, because that could also be the great difference. But I really like the fact that he could play inside, outside. He tackles well, and he puts himself in positions to always be ready to help the team. What I mean by that is if he's not the first guy in, he's going to be the guy to help finish. And if he can't make the pass defense, he's at least going to be in solid coverage so that it's a hard throw to make. So I'm hopeful in Buffalo's defense he'd be able to grow into a role and not be tasked with being a starter. And that would go a long way towards him maturing and becoming someone down the road that could perhaps start outside, but maybe start inside as a nickel guy and put maybe a Leonard Johnson or whomever they get in, like, garbage bin free agency to save their comp picks for 2019. That can have the length to play outside like they want.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to watch corners because I don't get the coach's film. So it's hard to see, but I mean, according to Pro Football Focus, he allowed 21 catches on 48 targets and just 2 touchdowns last year. And from everything that I've read and watched on Twitter, I just think that if you're in the third round at 96 and you can get a player like Duke Dawson, I mean, I've only seen him live. I haven't tried to watch any cut-ups of him or anything, so I'm not going to lie and act like I know the ins and outs of him, but I don't see why the Bills wouldn't take a cornerback of that caliber, especially considering the fact that Sharice Wright, Leonard Johnson, and EJ Gaines are free agents.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how you brought up Sharice Wright and Leonard Johnson. Let's not pretend like they're fantastic corners. They're serviceable, but they're not great corners. So while the secondary was good last season, there's definitely room for improvement. And, you know, even if Gaines doesn't come back, you know, sign a guy, hopefully a serviceable starter, and then draft Dawson. And like you said, Rich, just kind of let him develop into a role. Don't force him into one. Let him develop into something that fits him. I'll buy what you guys say. It looks like he'll be a good scheme fit with McDermott's zone-heavy scheme. So if he's there in the third round, I think that'd be a solid pickup. Now we move to round four. Pick number 117, we have a guy that Rob is going to be huge on because he's from the U. Running back Mark Walton had 1,117 yards and 209 carries in 2016, but an ankle injury limited him to just 56 carries in 2017. Rob, Buffalo fans don't have the greatest relationship with Miami running backs. Tell me why this will be different.
I mean, Mark Walton, if you want a compliment to LeSean McCoy, I'm not sure that Mark Walton is exactly the guy that you want, but he's an interesting guy. He's a bit undersized, but he's got speed, burst, and strength, and he doesn't get taken down by arm tackles. He can catch out of the backfield. He could run between the tackles, but he is undersized, and I think that the Bills would be better off getting kind of a bigger dude in the backfield that can kind of carry up those second half carries and find a guy like Mark Walton in free agency, maybe a guy like Theo Riddick or something like that. And I love Mark Walton, but he was a backup to Joe Yearby. Miami always has the best running backs, and it's tough because I like him. The ankle, he was on a roll this year before he broke his ankle. But at the same time, I mean, if you're looking at compliment LeSean McCoy, you kind of want something that is different than LeSean McCoy, don't you?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think you need a change of pace. But there's also, if you look at the Eagles, something to be said about having two really similar backs and then one change-up guy. So it's really going to depend on what Dable wants in his offense and how he wants to deploy his backs. Because if he uses one as a de facto slot guy, that might be a little bit more of that separation I talked about from the receiver position. And it's more in that area, short area quickness as opposed to deep ball awareness.
Very true, but he wasn't really utilized in the passing game or out of the slot like that. I mean, he's quick. He's got burst, but he doesn't have breakaway speed. He's going to get you what you'd expect a power back's numbers would be. Like 4 yards, 4.2 yards a carry, a couple touchdowns here and there, but then he'll have those breakaway runs or a couple catches. But I just think there's other directions you can go, especially with the way this draft class looks.
Yeah, as you bring up, Rob, this draft is pretty deep at running back. And I don't know all that much about Walton, as is the case with a lot of prospects at this point in the drafting timeline here. But I think it's important for Buffalo fans to consider that they may be taking a running back at some point in this draft. I could see them taking a running back probably as early as round 4 or round 3, even if they like a guy enough. Just because LeSean McCoy, he's 30 years old now, which is when analysts say that running backs start declining in quality. And behind LeSean McCoy right now, they have Mike Tolbert and Travaris Cadet, neither of whom are blue-chip prospects. They don't...
Free agents.
Yeah, they're going to be free agents. Probably won't be back next year. So I don't know if they're necessarily going to secure McCoy's successor in this draft, but I think they'll definitely look to get somebody, like you said, who can complement him And I think a guy that could compliment him right out of the gate is Bo Scarborough, the running back out of Alabama. It might be available in round four. Unfortunately, East Sterling hasn't mocked him to us, but I really like Scarborough. I think he's fun to watch, and he played with DeBole, or how do you pronounce our new offensive coordinator's last name?
Dable.
Is it DeBole? Dable? Played with Dable in Alabama, which there's a link there. Do with that as you will.
Massive to Buffalo.
Well, this is the difference between, like, first round and, like, fifth round dude. Ooh.
So, I don't know if Walton's going to be the guy because, like you said, he's kind of not really a compliment to McCoy all that much. But I think running back's definitely a position that the Bills will be addressing in this draft. And then in round five, Easterling has us taking LSU center Will Clapp. Of course, center became a need after Eric Wood had to retire with that career-ending neck injury. But I don't know if center is a huge need, per se, because they have Ryan Groy. But a fifth-round center, not the end of the world. Rich, what do you think of Will Clapp?
I like Will a lot. I think in the SEC, you see a run game and you're going to have some competent players. He's 6'5", 314, allowed just one sack in 2017. I'm not big on pass blocking efficiency and some of the stuff with PFF at the college level, just because I'd rather just look at it myself and kind of figure it out. And for him, I see him, and he screams to me more of a right guard. So if they did draft him in the fifth round, you could put him at right guard, team him with either putting him at right guard or left guard at some point if they make the move with Richie and get him off the roster, that he could play either guard, I'll put it that way. And if they give Miller a second shot in this new offense, which might be more in his line, especially with more pro-style man blocking as opposed to just his own, Will could fit across the middle of the front, and I think that would be fine for him. The big question for him is going to be, he's basically Eric Wood's dimensions, and if they don't like Groy there, they could always move Groy to guard. It's going to be how much can he pick up in a short period of time, because you really don't want to have a rookie center if you can avoid it, especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. Agree with that 100%. You do not want a rookie center and a rookie quarterback. I think in Wood's first few years, I think he played guard as well before they moved him in. Yeah, like I just said, I don't necessarily think center is a major need just because I like Roy, but offensive line depth is always good to have, and if you can get a guy like you say that can play really anywhere on the interior, that'd be a solid value pick in the fifth round. And then with our last pick in the draft, with the Bills' last pick in the draft, 157, Easterling has mocked Louisiana Tech defensive end Jalen Ferguson. 6'5", looks like a scary dude, looks like he can play. But I haven't watched him play. Rich, you have watched him play. Is he good?
Yeah, he's good. He reminds me of Manny Lawson a little bit at NC State in his first few years in the NFL. He's 6'5", 255, so he's a lankier guy. He plays more of a stand-up end. Having him play a three- or four-down lineman will be dependent upon whether or not he can kind of go beyond wide nine. What I mean by that is, can he play do the dirty work against the run? I think he can from a 2-point, but in a 3-point, I think that will be something you'll have to develop in. And there's also something to be said for having him team with Shaq Lawson and Jerry Hughes, because I think Ryan Davis is going to be that guy that becomes the three-technique switcheroo guy as they develop. But otherwise, you're going to be in a situation where you need a true, you know, dog at defensive end to kind of push the envelope. Because right now, Jerry Hughes is one of the I would say it's like the sneaky, low-key, hey, what happened there stories of 2017.
Yeah, Hughes just, obviously, he didn't produce all that well. He didn't produce all that much, I should say, in 2017. I think he only had like 44 tackles and 4 sacks, and he was supposed to have this big rebound season in the 4-3 scheme. Just didn't happen. The defensive line as a whole kind of struggled. You describe him as somebody who could probably fill in nicely, play nicely with Hughes and Lawson. And again, it's a fifth-round pick. You're getting somebody who, if he's can fill in and be productive in his limited playing size, that's all you can really ask out of a fifth round pick.
I agree completely. I think the big thing, if he could play a wave role in the fifth, I'm happy with it. And if he can gain a little weight, get up to like 260, 265, that's, you know, that's a steal. That's almost like the former Kraken of Carolina in terms of that, without the, you know, mental issues and hopefully domestic abuse issues.
All right, and there you have it. That was our recap of Luke Easterling of DraftWire's 7-round mock draft. I am Rob Quinn, managing editor of BillsWire.com. Make sure you bookmark that. As always, I'm with Kyle Salagi, my right-hand man, my left-hand man, Rich Fan over here. Guys, where can they find you on Twitter?
Well, they could always find me at Rich_Fan, F-A-N-N, like the appliance with an extra N, and I'll be happy to chat with you about all the fun Bills Wire articles I write and go from there.
Kyle?
I'm at Kyle Salagi. You can tweet at me, but I'm not guaranteeing I'll reply.
All right, so Kyle, what do you have in store for us this week? A unique Kyle story, not a news.
You ask me this every time.
Every time. The readers want to know. They love you. We love you.
I really don't know.
No. We need to know. We need to know.
We'll go top 32 prospects Bills should look at in first round.
Okay. Rich, which scouting reports are you itching to get going for Bills Wire?
I think I'm going to be definitely going for some of the offensive players. I know Rob usually gets on my case to get the offensive linemen out because that's an area where he doesn't really want to spend the time. He wants to stick with the sexy Miami picks. So I'm
I'm not an offensive line expert, and I'm not going to give our readers something that's not educated.
Well, that's fair. So I'm going to go with some of the trench dudes and start with Will Montgomery, as well as some of the receivers, because I think it's time to start featuring some of the skill position players outside of my favorites that I already hit that did well in the Senior Bowl. So I felt like I wasn't an idiot when I was saying what I said about them.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I get to play with my trench boys, the defensive linemen, some space players, the linebackers, and some announcements. We're going to have probably 50 or more scouting reports coming to you by the time the draft is here. So you're going to want to stay tuned to BillsWire.com every single day. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to say it right now, bookmark it and slide that baby right up to the front, because that's the first thing you're going to want to check in the morning and the last thing you want to check at night. Anything you need to know about the Bills, we're going to have it. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at the Bills Wire, and go Bills.